Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report at the end of a very busy week. I cover stock market investing on this show, and I do it through the millennial lens. Armor stands for Algorithmic Risk Management Research. The way you create alpha, or edge as we call it, in the millennial market is by managing your risk first and holding on to your long-term investment second. Manage risk. That's what we've been all about in the last 13 trading days. 13 days ago, we were talking about raising cash, selling small cap and mid cap stocks. And of course, it flows from there. You can go to our website, rosenthalcapital.com. We have a real-time risk management monitor. Tells you what our algorithms are saying on the top five indexes. Those indexes are calling for cash. Those algorithms are saying, hold cash, risk off. For those five indexes, then you need to appropriately look at your account, look at your portfolio, depending on what your risk tolerance is, determine how to protect your capital. That's how you can use the Armor Report. Every day, 12 o'clock, I come on this show and I tell you this is not your dad's stock market. It's not your granddad's. It's completely different. Everything changed after 2008. There's more information coming at you from all sides. It can paralyze thought. So the best thing to do is to avoid worrying about the why of the market and focus on worrying about how do I protect capital and capture upside. What we do on our trading desk every day, and I try to share with you at 12, is I share with you information directly off our desk that we're using right now and every day to manage capital that incorporates fundamental analysis and millennial execution tools, things like algorithms and exchange-traded funds, volatility we talk about, things you didn't have to think about more than 10 years ago. But we got to think about it every day today as we manage money. So let's jump in to discuss where we are. The topic today is called large cash position. Okay. If you've been following us, again, on our website, rosenthalcapital.com, at the bottom of the page, you'll see all of our podcasts. So you can go back and listen to what we've been recommending, what we've been doing. We've been protecting capital for 13 days, and we are in a full-on cash position risk off. And I kind of look at this, there's three types of investors, and so you got to try to think about where you fit in this spectrum. If you're an aggressive investor, which means you trade aggressively, then when you get signs, you know, 13 days ago, we had all five indexes were long the market. So risk on for all five major indexes, the S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ, small caps, mid caps. But 13 days ago, our algorithm said raise cash for two of the five. Small caps and mid caps were out. If you're aggressive, you sell a lot at that point. You've made a lot of money and you're booking your profits and you're waiting for opportunities. If you're a moderate investor, you're saying, okay, I'm going to sell a little bit. I might get out of some small cap names, some mid cap names. I'm going to stay with the big names. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, so you unwound a little bit slower. And if you're a conservative guy, closest to the quote buy and hold mentality, then, you know, least amount of trading, then you're saying, I'm not doing anything. I don't care that small and mid caps are telling me there's danger coming. I'm going to sit with these investments. That's okay. That's okay. That guy, that if you're in that category, you've been doing real well over 5 years because the markets have constantly recovered from these massive sell-offs. And so you might be able to make your way through some of these. But when we told you on the 5th, not only were we out of the NASDAQ, I mean, out of the small caps and mid caps, but now we're out of the NASDAQ 100. Even the conservative investor who doesn't like to trade needs to look at his portfolio, and you got to be pruning. You got to be protecting capital. Maybe you don't trade the core of your portfolio, but everything outside of the core, you get out of at that point. That's how I kind of look at it. So figure out what kind of investor you are. If you're aggressive, you're 100% cash right now. If you're moderate, and you're maybe, I don't know, 75% cash with 25% positions that you might want to hold longer term that you think you can handle. And if you're, you know, the closer to the buy and hold, I don't want to trade guy. So maybe aggressive, you know, moderate, conservative are the wrong names. Really what I'm saying is, are you a trader? Are you a swing trader, or are you a long-term investor? If you're the long-term investor, then what you've done is maybe you've got still 50% of your market, you know, positions on, but at least you got 50% cash. You have to do something, though, to protect capital in the millennial market. You can't just sit and take it in the teeth and pray that, you know, you're a buy and holder and you'll be okay. You got blown out in 2008. Admit it. Look in the mirror. You got blown out. Don't suffer through that again. Guys who didn't sell at the bottom and made it through all the way and came out the other side intact, you know, they looked green in the face in 2008. You know, they were throwing up. Don't pretend that was easy. And there's no reason to suffer through that type of decline for your ideals of being a buy and hold investor. That's not, there's no reason to suffer through that. You can hold some, but protect capital. Protect capital. And the algorithms help you do that. So right now, the algorithms are calling for a large cash position, and you determine based on your risk tolerance what that means. Okay? I want to mention this is the second shot across the bow in the last 12 months. This is a nasty, aggressive sell-off. Now, you know me as somebody who doesn't predict. I don't spend too much time on the why. I don't know why. I don't care. So I'm not predicting that a bear market started, but I am mentioning that this is the second major sell-off in a very short period of time, inside of 12 months. And there is significant carnage across many of our favorite growth ETFs, groups, favorite growth groups, cloud stocks, cybersecurity stocks, internet stocks, all the things that were carrying this market higher month after month after month have been decimated. Biotech stocks have been destroyed in a week's time. Be advised, this is the second shot across the bow. We had a big sell-off in February. We recovered from that, made new highs, marginal new highs. Now we have another massive sell-off in a short period of time. That's serious deterioration. I went back and did an analysis of the top of the market in 2000 that led to the 2001, you know, bear market, where the NASDAQ 100 dropped 50% in 3 months. And there are many similarities to what's happening this year. And there are some differences. You had that explosion higher in January, February of 2000. Peaked, the market cratered. Then it took 6 months of a recovery. So it had this massive sell-off in February, just like we had this year. Very vicious, very quick. And then it recovered and worked its way higher for 6 months. When it broke down below the 200-day moving average, which was in September that year, the market went into a bear market, and it was ugly. Market dropped 50%, I think, in 3 months. It was ugly. Now, the differences. Right now, we're 7 months into it, right? So we collapsed in February. So it's March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. We're in month eight. So we've been rallying for 8 months. Well, let's call it seven, right? Because we broke down now in October. So for 7 months. So the rally went a little bit longer than it did in 2000. And truth be told, in 2000, over the 6 months of the rally, it was a very, very weak rally. And the 50-day crossed below the 200-day in August and September when the markets broke down and started their bear market. That's probably a big difference. Today, the 50 is way, way above the 200. So it's a much stronger market today than it was in 2000. But there still are a lot of similarities. It's an ugly sell-off, confirming the sell-off in February. It's 7 months versus 6 months that the rally ensued after the first shot across the bow. It was a stronger rally than it was in 2000. But there are eerie similarities, and a break below the 200-day is very dangerous for the market. And it's happened now. Market broke below the 200-day. On the S&P I'm talking about now. The Dow is still above the 200-day, barely. NASDAQ is a little bit above the 200-day. Small caps and mid caps have said goodbye to the 200-day a long time ago. They're just imploding, and they continue to implode. This is a very dangerous market. Be advised. Do not be quick to jump back in because you're afraid you're going to miss something. I don't think you're going to miss something. Now, this is a prognostication. I usually don't do this, but I just want you to protect capital right now. All five of our indexes are telling us to be in cash, all of our algorithms. Now, in February, when the market dropped, it took 3 months to work out a bottom that was worth buying. There was a couple of buy signals that failed during that three-month period. We had to get in and out real quick. Then we had our setup. It took 3 months for the vicious sell-off in February to work its way through the system. So chances are you're not going to miss anything just because the market gaps up on a given morning. Okay? Let's be patient. Let's hold our cash. Let's allow the market to find a bottom. We'll get a buy signal. And then, depending on the type of risk-on entry signal that we get, we'll have to determine how much capital we want to put to work. That'll be the key in here. And I can tell you, looking at the market decimation at the moment, for my trading desk, when we get the next S&P risk on entry point using the algorithm, I'm probably going to only have 50% of my usual position on. Whatever the usual position is, I'm going to have only half of it to work. Because I do think it's going to take a series of months, not days, to get an entry point that can be strong enough to carry stocks significantly higher. And I think that the risk is going to be elevated for a while in here. Just look at the February sell-off. It took 3 months of massive volatility before we had an entry point that was worth anything. So probably for the next 3 months, whatever entry signals we get on the desk, whatever risk-on signals we get in the big indexes, we're going to participate because we use algorithms on this desk, and we're willing to take some losses if they're wrong. It's okay. But as what we do is we determine the size of our position and how much risk we're willing to take. When we're in an uptrend, just to give you a basic ballpark idea of how we adjust position size, if the 50-day and the 200-day moving averages on the asset we're looking at are both in uptrends, then when we get an entry point, a risk-on signal, we put on our maximum position size. If the 50's in an uptrend and the 200's in a downtrend, or vice versa, so if one is up and one's down, then we put on less than our maximum position size. And if both the 50 and the 200 are down and yet we get an entry point, we put on 50% of our position size normally, or less, depending on really how aggressive we want to be. Be advised, it's a dangerous market right now. And don't let hype get in the way so that you feel like you have to get involved right away. You don't. You can be patient. Now, there's one group we're buying today, and I'm going to get to that a little bit later in the show. There's one group. If you're following me on Twitter, just hashtag Armor Report, A-R-M-R Report, you'll know what that one group is. It's a group I don't talk about very much here because it's so impossibly hard to trade. It's been in such a massive downtrend. Not even trade, just invest in. It's just been an awful place to have money. But if this is a dangerous market and the markets are headed lower and this second shot across the bow is the beginning of a real bear market, then this group is going to be a winner. And it's coming off of some real, real serious lows. And we had a great algorithmic entry point a couple of weeks ago that I didn't really talk about because it's been such an awful group. And it just languished. We got an entry point and it just traded around a range for the last couple of weeks. Well, yesterday it blew out. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. Because that blowout could be the beginning of a move higher. So, you know, there's a couple of groups that we still own in our portfolio. We still own some of the pipelines, Master Limited Partnerships, AMLP is the symbol, collecting a dividend there, although we've reduced the exposure. We still own MJ. We think marijuana stocks, cannabis stocks are an unbelievably great place to be and will be for a while. And any weakness we're going to be buying. Of course, today they're up 4.5% MJ. So we have our core position on there. The quote, buy and hold part of the portfolio. And we're going to leave it alone and let it go. And we're going to look to build the position every time we get entry points and weakness. And, you know, we'll peel some away when it skyrockets and gets ahead of itself. I just wanted to share with you some thoughts on how to trade this market right now. And I've had a lot of questions about this. People have been asking me, am I short the market? And I want to tell you that I'm not short the market right now. On my trading desk, I'm not shorting the market. And I'm not shorting the market because I have a firm belief, and I call this rule number 7 of what I've learned over 30 years of doing this, working with individual investors as an investment advisor, managing my own capital. There's a step between being long and being short. And that step's called cash. And I say that for two reasons. There's two main reasons for this rule. One is practical and one is psychological. Practically speaking, when you're in a massive uptrend like we've been in, I'm not trying to call the top. I don't need to put shorts out and be right at the top. Practically speaking, the most amount of money short is going to be made once we enter the downtrend, once we're trading below moving averages and there's a clear downtrend. And what we'll be doing is shorting every rally back to the downtrend. We've made a lot of money over the years doing just that. And we've lost a lot of money over the years fighting an up market, shorting for no reason. The best thing to do is take a deep breath after a big bull run. Hold cash. Take a break. Go play a little golf. Nothing's going to happen overnight now. You're not going to miss some kind of crazy opportunity. Market's not going to skyrocket up tomorrow. And chances are it's not going to implode into a crazy bear, but let's say into a crazy crash. But let's say it did. So what? So you're sitting in cash with the market imploding. Obviously, your performance versus the index is skyrocketing. and you've got a huge amount of cash ready to put to work on the long side. If there's a crash, then there's not really a need to be short. You're going to be looking to pick up the pieces. While everyone else is bleeding in the street, you're going to be buying quality assets on the long side. So I don't really worry about crashes from a short side. I don't need to be short to catch a crash. First of all, they come around once in a, you know, in a millennia. Once in a blue moon is a crash. I mean, 1987, you know, I guess in 2000, at top in 2000, and the market dropped 50% in three months in the NASDAQ 100. That was a crash, I guess, of sorts. And of course, we have 2008. But so if you're constantly trying to grab that, you're just going to be losing money constantly. I don't care if I missed the crash from the short standpoint. I'm just as happy being in cash and letting the market plummet and picking up the pieces while everyone else is bleeding. That's the way to make money long term in the market. You buy when there's blood in the streets. And if we go into, instead of a crash, but an extended downtrend or bear market, then the money made short, first of all, nothing's easy in the market, but boy, it's so much fun shorting a downtrend. It gets easy. If you do it right and you're patient, you wait for the big run-up days, run-up week, right to downtrends, and you put your shorts out. And when the market craters down to the lows, you buy it back and cover, and you wait for the next bounce. It's just beautiful. Or you can, of course, use options if you want. So there's a lot of money to be made once the downtrend starts. So practically speaking, going from risk on all five indexes to short is not necessary, practically speaking. Now that the market's cratered and I'm in cash and we're definitely outperforming the averages because we've protected the capital, we can then wait to get into sync with the market. And what we'll be looking to do is short rallies if the situation presents itself. And I'll share it with you on the trading desk if we do that. Normally, I'll be honest with you, I don't like to put shorts out unless the 50 and the 200-day moving averages are in downtrends. Then I'll get short, and I'll be looking to short over a series of months and weeks. I'm not talking about day trading now. You could day trade anytime you want. I mean, market could jump up for a couple days. You can get short and day trade it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being investment shorts, being bear market shorts. I'm not going to do that until I literally see the 50 and the 200-day moving averages in downtrends. And then I'll say, okay, I'm going to start shorting rallies. But even after this massive sell-off, and you might ask me, well, why would I do that? Well, just look back at February. The market cratered in February. And if you took that market crater and ran out there and got short all the indexes and started shorting a bunch of stocks, you would have had your head handed to you over the last 7 months. And so here we are again, another market collapse. Do I run out and start shorting right away? No. Holding cash, outperforming averages, waiting for opportunities. Either this market's going to crash and then the opportunity will be on the long side, or the market is going to rally back up to downtrends, to moving averages, and over the next X amount of weeks, the 200-day moving average will roll over and the 50-day will be headed down, and that's when we'll be starting our shorting process. So that's the practical reasons for why I don't short right now. Psychological is just as important. After making money on the long side for a long period of time, emotionally it's very difficult to flip the other way. It'll be very hard to stay with your position. There'll be a couple of big up mornings and you'll cover for losses because in your brain you're still thinking about making money long. It's very difficult to do. So I advised against it. On our trading desk, we just protect capital, go to cash. That's the step. There's a step between being long and being short, and it's called cash. Rule number 7. things I'm going to teach my son about investing. Rule number 7. And my daughter, for that matter. Let me also say this on an intraday basis. Gap ups are incredibly dangerous in this market and in really, quite frankly, almost every market environment. I can't stand gap ups. They're the worst. Big gap ups in the morning lead to weakness. They're the worst. Gap downs are my favorite. Flush everybody out. Give me a reversal. Boom. Skyrockets the rest of the day. I'm making money on the long side with our intraday trading tool. Maybe I'm holding that position overnight because now we have a swing trading, you know, risk on buy signal. Great. You see the market gap up huge this morning? Ooh, you better not be out there buying. Statistically speaking, and that's what I do on this trading desk all day long. I look at every opportunity and get on the right side of probabilities and statistics, and I try to share it with you on this show. Statistically speaking, gap ups are dangerous if you're looking to go long. They work every now and then, but statistically speaking, they put you behind the eight ball. You want weakness. Even let it gap up, then sell off, set up an opportunity, and it could go higher by the end of the day. That's fine. But don't chase gap ups. They're deadly. All right. I got 3 minutes left in the show, and I better get to it. Those of you following me on Twitter, by now you've figured it out. If you've gone to look at hashtag Armor Report or at Brett Rosenthal, you know what I'm talking about. As a group to focus on now and a group that we're long in the portfolio again is the gold stocks. You can do it through GDX, the index GDX ETF. So those are the big cap gold stocks, GDXJ or the small cap. I don't see any reason why you'd need small cap right now. This group has been unbelievably destroyed and the worst place to have money for years. So let me just put that out there as a caveat. It's been the worst place to have money for years. Having said that, we're coming off of multi-year lows. We had a buy signal on the index, and you could also buy GLD, gold, silver, SLV. You could do that if you want. For my money, I'd rather own the big cap mining companies. So I'm looking at GDX is my favorite way to play it. And we had a buy signal on September 12th on this asset. And it traded marginally higher for the last 30 days or so. And it was trading right around the entry point 2 days ago when the market started to collapse. And yesterday was a major gap up above the 50-day moving average. So now we've got a bottom in from the middle of August all the way through the middle of October is the consolidation in that group with a gap up on volume and a follow-on risk on buy signal yesterday in this group. Now, I didn't buy yesterday. The group was up 7%, so I didn't talk to you about it yesterday because I wasn't going to chase it as it was skyrocketing. But the way we do it here is when we have a big skyrocket day, we use our short-term intraday trading tools, especially what we call the VWAP. We were so far away from the VWAP yesterday, there was no point in chasing the asset. But what we want to do is buy weakness in the morning today back at or below the VWAP, which is what we got. And we had a great entry point at around 11:30 today, and that's where we put our position on GDX in our portfolio. If the markets go into a big decline, you're going to see money run after this group as people are hiding in gold and silver and hiding in these stocks that are so destroyed. Caveat, it's a very difficult place to make money. Got to have your stops in place. Listen, I want you all to have a great weekend. Take a deep breath. Don't worry about the market. You should be in a heavy cash position right now if you're following the Armor Report. Get excited. We're going to get great buying opportunities if they show up, or we'll be shorting if we have to. And I'll let you know here today and every day on this trading desk. Have a good day trading. Have a good weekend.